Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Rebecca from Texas. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. Tell us about the bridge walk and your experience.
Oh, wow. Well, it was a great bridge walk. And the best thing for me about it was that I got to be there.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a great story of what happened. So, you know, last week I'd called in on the radio program and I mentioned to Sherry that I was going to be missing y'all and wasn't able to make it out this year. And then Wednesday morning I woke up and opened my inbox and there was a message from the monastery that said somebody had offered to pay my way to come out there, buy me a plane ticket if I could
wow.
make it out this year. I know,
wow.
some anonymous donor.
Wow.
Isn't that fabulous?
That's so fabulous.
I know. I mean, just talk about, I mean, just imagine the heart-opening, you know, experience of reading such a message like that. And so I just got on the phone and tried to rearrange everything that I had planned for that weekend, a work commitment, and my sister and my daughter both filled in for me at things. And I mean, it was just so inspiring the way people rearranged their lives so that I could take advantage of this generous offer. And so I got to be there. And it was a beautiful, beautiful bridge walk. You were there.
I was there. It was beautiful, bridge walk.
Wasn't it just like one of the best? I mean, I've only been to like, I think about four of them now, but it was just, I don't know, one of the best.
Yeah, it was great. And for me, it's so fun to hear you call in last week and kind of put that out there to the universe, you know, as something you're experiencing and feeling and would like to have happen. And then the universe, it feels like the universe just kind of rearranges itself around your wishes.
I know. Isn't that so fun? And everybody played their part, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like even Sherry, when she was even putting it out there, well, maybe you should come, you know, and putting ideas in my head. And, you know, I mean,
yeah.
and, you know, I just had just kind of accepted that it wasn't going to happen. And then it just, all of these people named or unnamed, you know, played their part. And, you know, one of the funnest things about that was after that whole day after I got the email, I was thinking, okay, well, maybe it was so-and-so or maybe it was this person or that person, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just such a gratitude-inducing experience that I thought, you know, this is a fun way to live. So I went to the bridge walk thing and kind of consciously assuming that it was every person that I met. So every person I saw, I assumed, it was you that brought me here. Oh, it was you,
yeah.
you know, and it was just really fun to sort of go through the day assuming everybody there was conspiring to for my happiness.
Yeah, and what a great attitude of mind to carry through life.
I know, that it really did occur to me. It's like, wow, I could, you know, I could do this all the time, perhaps.
Yes, yeah.
So can I tell you my two favorite things about the bridge walk this year?
Yes, please.
Okay, so one was I got to walk across the bridge with Awareness Junkie Man. So someone had asked me to take photos, and so I was his groupie, and we got to walk across watching everybody's reaction to him, and that was, you know, he was waving and being friendly and just putting out these wonderfully positive vibes, and people just smiled and waved and laughed and gave him the thumbs up, and you know, it was just like living on a whole higher frequency than it certainly most of the time I do, you know. It was just really,
yeah.
really fun.
Yeah.
And then the second thing that was I think my favorite part of the whole day was getting Sherry's new book. It was hot off the presses, and there what you practice is what you have, and I got a copy, and I got to read it all the way home on the plane the next day.
Great.
It's really good. If you haven't seen it yet, you should grab a copy.
Yes, I've started it. It's great.
Yeah.
Any thoughts you want to share about it without spilling all the beans for everybody?
Well, let's see if I can do it without spilling the beans. I I felt like the first part of it, I felt like it gave us it framed the whole, for me, it framed spiritual practice in such a way that was very hopeful. And it did feel like a sequel in the sense that, to the There Is Nothing Wrong With You book, in the sense that it felt like, I want to say it felt like an advanced course, but not in the sense that you can't start here, that you shouldn't read the book if you haven't read any other one. So I don't mean that at all. I just mean it felt like a continuing conversation. Maybe that's a better way of saying it.
Yeah.
That really, I don't know. I just felt like it respected and honored years of practice and called us to a different place and a newer depth or something.
Yes.
What do you think?
I haven't gotten very far into it, and my experience generally with practice is that that's what it does. It calls me to show up in a deeper way, to be more present, to look in places that I have been unwilling to look in before, and to see again with fresh eyes things that I, quote, have seen already.
Yeah. We really do have to watch out for that feeling like I've done this before. That beginner's mind is such a neat attitude of mine to practice with.
Yes. Yes. So the bridge walk, I was just going to say, what's coming up for me about the bridge walk is that it's in support of the project in Africa.
Go ahead.
Good. You're going to go there? Then I don't have to take you there. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to go to the dollar amount of what we raised.
Oh, great!
Do you want to tell everybody what the money has raised so far? It's not even all done yet, but so far.
Why don't you tell?
Okay, so the grand total so far is $80,000.
Yay!
For the work in Cantabamba.
Yay!
Yeah, and that is such an incredible amount given. The economic, situation we find ourselves in, and the fact that the fundraisers are still happening.
Yes.
So, that's great. Really wonderful.
It's great. Yes, and I'm sure Jen will come in with an updated, bigger number at some point, and we'll cover it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one thing that I love about the Bridge Walk is that it's just such a tangible reminder of that project and the extraordinary success that it's been. And as I always like to say, I always trace it back to practice in terms of its success, because to me what practice does is point at what works.
Mm-hmm.
And when I can bring that into my life, then it's obvious to me what works and when I'm paying attention, what doesn't work, and I will learn from that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just, when we look back, there was this, at the Bridge Walk, they had the story sort of the whole Africa project sort of laid out year by year. And when you just look at the transformation that has happened in Cantalamba, and then look at the transformation that's happened in our own Sangha, with all of and I'll own the projection too, because really I don't know that the Sangha has any firm boundaries really, but just in the community of us here in the United States and others who have been working on this, I don't know, I just think it's remarkable how practice and the intention that Sherry, and the vision that Sherry and Jen first had has been such a transformative agent in so many people's lives. It's so inspiring, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Yes, in lives over, quote, over there, and in lives, quote, over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned those storyboards or whatever however we describe them, those panels that show year by year the successes and accomplishments in the Africa Project, because that's really a great timetable of what's been accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were beautiful too. I don't know who put those together, but they were just beautiful.
Yes, they were gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Rebecca, any final words for us?
Well, I think just one last thing, and that is, as a result of having gotten to go this year and really seeing how much joy it brought into my life. And just being physically with Sangha, I guess I just want to sort of do a commercial for all of us that live far away to not underestimate the power of being there in the flesh. You know, it really made a huge difference for me, and I've made a commitment to really work it out that I can visit out to California more often than I, you know, than I have had. It's really a powerful thing to be there physically. So that's the last thing I want to say about having been there, and deep gratitude to everybody that made it possible, the bridge walk and certainly my being able to go as well.
Yes, yes, it is wonderful to be there in person, my experience as well. Sounds like your friend is excited there as well.
Yeah, he is.
Rebecca, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Michael. It was a great pleasure.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
That was fun.
Took me right.
Took me right back there.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, and one thing that to just mention about that with that great commercial for the Bridge Walk, next year is our 10th annual. And so I am really hoping that everybody, as Rebecca said, you know, making that effort to get into physical proximity to Sangha, that would be a great thing for people to make a commitment to coming together for next year.
Yes.
10 years. I mean, that's big.
That's big. That's big. It's a lot of excitement and awareness and accomplishment.
Yeah, and of course, one of the things that I don't know, of course, but it's one of the things that I enjoy so much about that event is that there are families there. So we have kids, you know, they started out in strollers, and now I'm looking up to talk to them. You know,
yeah.
They were rolling down the hills.
Yeah.
You know, as little kids, and now they're teenagers. It's
yeah.
just, it's amazing. And we had a, of course, yours, you know, are becoming teenagers in a hurry. Not actually, but it seems like that compared to when they started. And we had one there who is just 2 months old. So it, then watching him grow up in the same way. And, of course, the older ones are truly, they're off to college, they're getting married, they're having kids of their own, and it's a marvelous community, you know, celebration of community here, there, and everywhere.
Yes, yes, yes. That was my experience as well. And yes, as you said, great to see the changes and the growth, and there's something that remains the same about all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean the same the way conditioning means
yeah.
the same, but there's a vitality and a freshness and a common purpose
yeah.
in being there.
Yeah, and people there who were among those who purchased the first Zen Center in Mountain View. And so that just that whole, that range that and the being able to come together and feel the continuity of practice and the lives that practice has transformed for many, many, many years. It's fun and it's heartening and it's just a thrill to be with everybody.
Yeah, so big thanks to everybody.
Uh-huh.
Sherry, I have an announcement,
mm.
which Rebecca told us already. You have a new book, which has just been released.
It has. And yes, and I confess I'm kind of excited about it. In fact, I'm so excited about it that we're getting ready to announce this, that there's an email class coming up through the month of November on that very book. And it's called It's Time to Feel Good. And that's the whole Rebecca did sort of allude to this, that this book is, I think it's, well, I hope all of our books present awareness practice from the positive perspective that I think it comes, that you know, there is that. But this book has, I think, a way of making practice accessible and available to people that I'm hoping will be well received, and I want to be there to be a part of talking people kind of through the things that they're going to run into that would be called conditioning, wouldn't it? stop them from being able to take advantage of this really very simple, very straightforward practice to have the life you want to have. So,
yes.
And another commercial, it actually comes with two price tags. One is a price tag for folks just out in the world who want to take a class, and the other is a reduced price for the folks that I think everybody calls MODOs, who are the monthly donors, the people who are really the backbone support of the practice. So,
a little commercial for a benefit of being the MODO.
Yes, and I think there are many, many benefits to that that program. First and foremost is they are the folks who are keeping practice afloat, and then I think there are a lot of benefits that those people receive from being in that group, and
yes,
reduced prices on things and special events and things with the monks and guidance and all sorts of things, but that, I think they can find that out on the website. But I did want to let people know that they're to look for those two price tags, depending on whether you are a monthly supporter or not.
Yes, and one benefit that I'd like to mention is the feeling you have from knowing that you are contributing to support something that's just so valuable in the world.
Yeah, yeah. So what you practice is what you have, the name of the new book, and there you have it, right there. So when you practice taking responsibility for and supporting the things that take care of you, then that's what you get. You get to feel taken care of and supported, and to know that's who you are, because that's what you're practicing.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And the other announcement I have is that people can visit the website for a list of upcoming events.
Hmm.
And I want to encourage people to perhaps get a cup of tea beforehand, because there's a lot of stuff there.
There is. It's an active sort of practice, isn't it?
It's quite active. Quite active. And the other thing that's active is our list of callers here.
Good.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Catherine.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi.
How you doing?
Well, I'm depressed.
Okay,
and,
good. Okay, good.
Okay.
That's a good practice opportunity.
It is. It is. I've been kind of just trying to write it out.
W-R-I-T-E or R-I-D-E?
R-I-D-E.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm sorry. Okay,
so what does that look like, and what's happening?
Well, I'm feeling very burned out on my job, and not very good at it. And
those two often
go
together, don't they?
Yeah. And feeling a lot of sadness come up right now, or I think it's sadness, emotion. I'm not sure why. I mean, I don't know why I would feel emotion, but I'm kind of just making myself go through the day and go to work and do what I need to do. And actually, it helps.
Oh, yes.
You
yes,
know,
it does.
Getting busy helps.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to do that. And
are you exercising?
I did today.
Good.
I did a couple of days ago, and I did again today. I haven't been every day.
It's important to get out there every day you can, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure you know this, but I was looking at this just the other day, that so you're depressed, and the last thing depressed people tend to want to do is get out and exercise, get out and do something. And so not to have it anything other than, you know, that first step of I'm gonna put my shoes on and I'm going to go outside and I'm going to walk around a little. I'm going to walk blocks, right, or what you relate
right.
to. Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm going to just walk a few blocks at whatever pace I feel like going and just see what happens. I'm going to swing my arms and look up and around at everything that's going on, trees, birds, anything like that you can find, sky. And I'm gonna breathe, and I'm just going to see what happens. And if I want to do more, I'll do more. And if at the end of a few blocks, that's it, then I'm going to give myself big congratulations for having done that, and I'm going to go back and do whatever comes next.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just because it's a kindness to myself to get out there and breathe fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a kindness to give myself a chance to feel the best that I can feel.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's not about exercise or accomplishing some goal or getting over depression, or it's a kindness to somebody who's not feeling well, who gets a label of depressed, to have a nice experience like that, for people to make that sort of effort.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I've kind of known not to try to fix this. That I have to do something.
Right.
To get over this.
Right.
Sort of thing.
Right. Because what you really have to do is be with the person who's feeling that way in the most supportive, loving, caring, compassionate, kind way you can manage. That's what you really need to do.
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
Because that voice that thinks you should do something about her, the one who's depressed, of course, is the depressor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, it seems to me that this depression, and perhaps every time I've had depression, that there doesn't seem to be a trigger.
Right.
Okay. There doesn't seem to be a why.
No, I don't. No. I think they're probably, you know, if there is, then it's one of those, huh, and really what difference would it make?
Right.
I mean, to me, it's like the weather. You know, people are always trying to figure it out and make it mean something, and even put
mm-hmm.
bizarre labels on it, like, you know, vengeful and angry and violent and all of these
yeah.
things. But it's just weather. It's just weather and temperature and wind and rain and sun. And
right.
it comes and it goes. And there are patterns, roughly, but, you know, within that, there's a lot of flexibility. And I will say, as I must, that in my experience anyway, now I can't obviously speak for anyone but myself, but my experience is that loving kindness and compassion will bring it to an end.
You know, what just came up for me is I've been thinking, I really want to go to the monastery. And that would be a great thing, to go to the monastery. And also, I think the reason I want to go to the monastery is because there's compassion there.
Yes.
And I think what I'm looking for is compassion.
Of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I haven't been getting any.
No. And you know, Catherine, I've yet to meet anyone who wasn't able pretty quickly to identify the relationship between depression and self-hate. So,
yeah.
They go together. It's rare when a person is depressed and not listening to voices beating them up and trying to scare them to death and making meaning out of it. And
right.
So anxiety, fear, worry, depression, you know, it's a conversation that people will tend to live in, and living in that conversation of compassion is what stops it. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be perhaps less energy or that sort of thing, but that's not a problem, right? I mean,
right.
Sometimes you're low energy, sometimes you're high energy. It's really not a problem
right.
if there isn't a voice telling you what it means, giving it a label, all of those kinds of things. Predicting
right.
that it's going to last forever and you're always going to be miserable. And
yes.
You
right.
imagine, I think it's really true that bears kind of go to sleep for the winter, right? Is that really
I believe
true?
So, yeah.
It's not just children's stories that make you think that. You know, can you imagine if every winter they decided that this was some sort of tragic event, that they were feeling so awful they had to just go to sleep through an entire season? But, you know, a lot of people get depressed at this time of year
uh-huh.
and make all kinds of meanings out of it rather than, it's kind of time to slow down and
uh-huh.
pull in a little and eat more soups and...
Right. And take good care.
And take good care of yourself. Because
yeah.
it is harder to feel kind of up and good and healthy without a lot of sunshine and warm weather.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, thank you. This is very helpful. And,
well, make a good plan to take good care of her, huh?
I will. And what's coming up for me is at least one lovingly kind thing I've done for myself is call.
Yes.
I called you, so.
Yeah, and you know,
start.
Just when you said that, I started to say just one kind thing a day that you can look forward to and plan on. So our minds were kind of working along the same path there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what is one thing that you could do every day to express the appreciation and loving kindness that you feel for this human, you know, doing this really hard thing called life.
Right. Yes. So, good idea.
Obviously, life doesn't have to be hard, but with karmic conditioning, you know, the person who keeps putting one foot in front of the other in the face of that that abuse really is heroic and deserves a lot of congratulations and appreciation,
mm-hmm.
not to mention presence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and then a helpful message, and we'll be right back.
All right.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back. Sherry, we have another caller here.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Renee in California.
Hey, Renee.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You?
Going really well, really well.
Excellent.
Yeah, I had something really good happen, and I just wanted to call in and report it.
Plus
it's the reporting time for me too. So.
Say what?
Plus it's the time for me to call in and anyway.
Mm-hmm.
On my schedule, so.
You're one of the committed callers?
Yeah, exactly.
Love that.
Yeah. So I went to the bridge walk and it was just card opening for me completely. And just doing service all day and walking across the bridge and everything was just great. And so I came home that night and went to bed. Everything was awesome, and I had really bad dreams. Like, I'm not enough. I can't do it. I don't really know exactly what the content was, but I just woke up feeling that way, and I knew it was the dreams.
Uh-huh.
And so I noticed it and, you know, said, oh, that was conditioning, right? Just trying to ruin my good time. And the next day, I was working around the house, and I started to feel overwhelmed and doing all the things that I do and started to pile up in my brain the things that I had to get done. And I had a voice come in that said, it's okay, I'm here with you, and you don't have to do it all today, without even trying. You know, normally I have to go to the place, okay, the mentor, get the mentor, you know, like...
Right.
Like I have to think about it intellectually and everything, and it just came in and said it. So I'm just attesting to how amazing it is that that happened in practice, and doing it helps you work that muscle and get it going, and now it's, I haven't ever noticed it doing it without me trying to make it happen, you know, like meditating or, it probably has, but I just haven't noticed it like that.
Right. Well, and so the relationship clearly is established.
Right, right.
Yeah, you, as you say, you don't have to go through some laborious process to try to get yourself to the place where you're available and open to being mentored, and then the mentoring comes, right? So in the same way that if it's a... well, say a relationship with a dog. You know, you go through this initial period of time of training and establishing that relationship that we're a team, and when I say, come here, you do that, and then, you know, this is how we do it, and now we've arrived. And the relationship is really easy because we are tuned into one another. And there's this kind of intuitive sensing of what one another needs and where you are and that sort of thing, and
right.
it becomes easy and relaxed.
Yeah, exactly. So I was just really, really excited about that and have felt really great, you know, all day yesterday, noticing it and letting it go and, you know, saying nice things to myself and starting reading your book, which is perfect. It's great. And so I was just, you know, really, really happy. I'm doing all as many things as I can do at home.
Uh-huh.
With practice.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Because there, I mean, what you describe is perfect. So you've had a great day, then you go to bed, and you're vulnerable. So
mm-hmm.
conditioning, of course, goes to bed, but doesn't go to sleep, and so it's working on you all night long, trying to take away that good time and try to set you up for some future misery. You wake up and it's haranguing you. You know, whether
mm-hmm.
it's loud or subtle, it's there, just making a case. Oh, it's too much. You can't do it, all this stuff. How are you ever going to get it done? And for most of us, that relationship is really old, familiar, well-established.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't take too much. It's the same process as the relationship with the dog, but really different content. Right, so it's got you trained to feel bad every time it predicts some dire future for you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
so there it is working on you. But because where your focus is on practice and coming back here and being present, that's where your attention is, and so that's what you get.
Yep, yeah, and I noticed this other process that goes on that I used to do. I'm still doing it, but not as much, I don't think. So I would go do something like a workshop or bridge walk or retreat, and then it was like I was conditioning would say, okay, you're done with that.
Right.
Now
you've done
you're
your awareness
go back to life.
Practice. Yeah.
But I noticed that I wasn't done with it. I had something else saying, oh, you could do the radio show Tuesday, and you have the book, and you have you know, everything working meditation this Saturday. And it was really, really different.
Yeah.
That was really different.
Yeah. And that's the whole, what you're articulating is the whole point of practice. Because
mm-hmm.
what you've done is shift your attention to present moment awareness. Away from the imaginary world of egocentric karmic conditioning and to present moment awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, present moment awareness is a joyful thing. So the more
you
do it,
definitely.
The more you want to do it.
Well, and that's how I kind of felt about the bridge walk. I was like, what else can I do?
Yeah.
And then I was just wanting more to do more service and do more practice and just excited about it. Just really, just my heart's just really excited about it.
Yeah, yeah, because it feels so good. And what you practice is what you have. So you're doing all of these things that make you feel good. Of course, you feel good, and feeling good makes you want to do more things that make you feel good.
Yeah, yeah. It's a completely different place to be. And I was even with exercise and dieting, and I had a shift with that too, and thinking about how I could be good to my body so I could do more. Like
that's just so thrilling to me. I can't tell you. You know,
the
body, to have the body be a happy, I'm guessing grateful recipient of our awareness. You know, that poor body. God, people just drag it around through life and mistreat it and overlook it and call it names and. And so to get to that place in awareness practice where the body gets some of the goodies, the best.
Yeah, because conditioning, you know, says you deserve this or you deserve that or you shouldn't have to do that. It's too hard.
Right.
But from this perspective, it's what can I do for it so that I could do more, you know, so that I could be more active, so I can not be sick, so I can live longer, whatever.
Yeah. And, of course, the body is back to this dog thing, because I happen to know you have a new dog, so that's why we're on the dog theme. But, you know, one of the things that people like so much about dogs, of course, is that the dog will forgive them anything. And the body seems pretty much the same way.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, ignore it for a lifetime and turn around and give it some attention, and it's just, yes, let's go.
Yeah, that's true. I have noticed that, too. Yeah, so
grand.
Thanks for all the things that the monastery is offering to the monastery and to you and everyone who's doing it.
Well, thank
and
you
myself.
To you. Yeah, exactly. And thank you to Renee.
Okay.
All right, takes care.
All right, thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Renee. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, it's Andrea.
Philadelphia.
Hey, there you are. It sounded like you were in a hole in Philadelphia, but you're here now.
Yeah, well, I had the speakerphone on. So.
Ah.
Yeah.
So, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm doing well. Decided to call as part of my commitment to call. And
excellent.
Yeah, just noticing the voices. I had called in May, and my plan was to call every 6 weeks, and just seeing, well, I've got a little boondoggled.
Yeah, because
so,
I'm not good at math, but I think that's more than 6 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've been watching is the conversations just about saying, like, when I would get home, I would want to call, and the conversation would be that I was too tired or that it was too hard or, you know, all this kind of resistance and conversation. So that's what I was looking at.
Good. And hopefully you're going to write them in red paint on the wall. So when you hear them the next time, you go, oh, right, that's that lie that keeps me stuck, being too tired and not enjoying my life.
Yeah, yeah, because what I hear is that, you know, I can do a lot of stuff in the morning, like I schedule, extra stuff in the morning so that I'll do it, but then the belief is, oh, things that are in the night, that's much harder, you know, that's what the belief is.
Yes, and of course the beauty of seeing through that is that when you start taking care of yourself all day, but especially in the evening, taking care of you actually frees up energy, makes you feel better, makes you happier, makes you want to do more things that make you feel better and feel happier.
Yeah, That's true, and one turning point for me is just kind of very subtle, which is about commitments. You know, I've been doing the 30-day retreat repeatedly, and just noticing what happened a couple weeks ago was that I had this commitment I wanted to do, and it kind of got rained out, and I didn't have a rainy day plan. And so what I ended up doing was just kind of not following through. And it was kind of like this weekend where I felt like I was at a real loose end. And what has happened in the past is that it's kind of been like globalized into depression and everything's wrong with my life and blah, 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 and how awful everything is. But I was actually able to see that and then kind of pick myself up and then force myself to go out and do something else and kind of, you know, was able to actually do that. And what it taught me was that how important it is to keep my commitments and what a letdown that was for someone.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And that sort of letdown, that transition, as you noticed, is a place where karmic conditioning is just, it's like it's lurking at the intersection.
Yeah.
Just waiting for that kind of opening.
Yeah, yeah, it's really interesting. And so I think that's kind of what turned me around with calling the radio show, was just realizing how important that is.
Yes. And since you're into the 30-day retreat the way you are, to have kind of along with Catherine, to have a commitment that you keep every day.
Yeah.
Just because you've noticed how much it takes care of you to practice keeping your commitments. So something to look forward to, a commitment that you are practicing keeping every day. And the voices will say you're too tired and you don't want to and it's not fun and you're over that and whatever. And you just notice all of that and continue to keep your commitment, because the juice, the joy is in the process of being in relationship with yourself in that way.
Yeah, and I find that what I really like with the 30-day retreat is I've gotten so that I meditate almost every single day in the morning first thing and say the daily recollection. And what I really like is in the evening that I do the daily review, even though it may only be for 5 minutes and I may be tired, but it seems like just doing the daily review is just really good for me. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're coming back to you.
Yeah.
You're choosing you. It's that, in this case, we could use the language of being in that committed relationship with you.
Yeah, that's it's interesting, too, because, you know, being at the monastery for a month and, you know, going to retreats and, you know, with all the dropping everything when the bell rings. And I don't think I really got that for quite a while, why that's so important, you know,
yeah,
that it's really taking care of me. Because what I found is that every day I am doing a lot of stuff at work and I have to drop it in order to make the train so that I don't get home too late. And I have to drop it every day, and I can watch myself being so identified and obsessed and not wanting to drop it. And it seems like I'm dropping things all the time, all day, something I could never do in the past.
Yes. And it sounds like you're recognizing that every time you do that, you're choosing you.
Yes.
You're choosing your commitment to your awareness and practice and presence.
Yeah, I'm taking care of myself by doing
uh-huh.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course the voices are so used to being able to control us that they can't. You know, you make that commitment, and then they start in that. Well, just this one more thing, or I really need to get that done, or this is really important, or you're too tired, or whatever it is, and they can talk us out of whatever it is that we've decided. But once you learn that the best way you can take care of yourself is to keep your word to yourself, to choose you over the voices, to choose yourself over conditioning, then things get a lot happier, a lot faster.
They do, and I notice also that it can be a little tricky. Like this morning, like normally on Tuesday mornings, I do my meditation and then I run and do yoga, and I was feeling under the weather this morning, so I didn't actually run and do the yoga. And so there's kind of like this fine line between maybe sometimes not following the schedule precisely is taking care of myself.
Oh, yes. And, of course, the thing you have to watch out for there is, it sounds like you didn't fall for it, but the voice will say, so, you know, you're under the weather and it'll really take care of you not to run or do yoga or meditate. And for a lot of people, it's like a week later when they go, now, not running and yoga, that makes sense, but not meditating?
Yeah. Yeah, so I did the meditation. That was no problem. But, you know, usually what happens with me is that there's this taskmaster voice that comes in and says, you better do everything that you said you were going to do, because otherwise if you fall off the wagon, that's it. You know, you'll be pushing a shopping cart. You know that,
right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that fabulous pseudo-mentoring.
Yes. So it's just subtle. You know, it's just, I know I see what is meant by, you know, like the moment, you know, being in the moment.
That is all good news, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is. And the only other thing I wanted to say is I'm sorry I couldn't be at the bridge walk because I was the year before, but I've been there a lot of years. And
Well, maybe you'll make it for our 10th anniversary, huh?
Yeah, maybe.
I'd love it if we could all set it up like throughout the year and it be kind of a homecoming. You know, everybody who's at a distance could come in. In fact, it could even be one of those things where we perhaps, I don't know, I probably shouldn't say these things, but the powers that be will listen and tell me to be quiet or support it. But to do something in conjunction with, you know, like a short retreat before or something like that, that people could come and if they're coming a distance, be at the monastery, do a little something, help get ready for the walk, and then go to the walk and fly home.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I just calling the show, you know, really helps me connect because.
Oh yes, yeah.
You know, so, going from being in Murphy's to moving all the way across the country.
Yes. Yeah. So you want to keep that commitment.
Yes,
every 6
I do.
Weeks. And here's what you tell the voices: if they keep talking you out of calling every 6 weeks, you're going to call every month.
Yeah, that's true. You know, what the voices say is, you know, you shouldn't call the radio show unless there's some real crisis where you need help. You know, that's what the voices try to do.
You can reassure them that I get to talk to enough people in crisis. It's a real pleasure for me when people just call in and tell me how practice is working.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? One other thing I'd like to share then that I'm inspired, which is before practice, the mornings were horrendous for me. They were just like, not another day. I can't stand it, you know, not wanting to get up. And I had the most amazing morning a few weeks ago. I got up, you know, really early, like around 6, and, you know, the voices were telling me, you don't want to run at 6 in the morning. It's dark and blah, 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 you know, how awful it is. And I had the most amazing run. It was just beautiful. The full moon was there. There was mist on the lake, and then running back, I saw the sunrise and the full moon at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes. Clearly, no wonder the voices didn't want you to do it, right?
Yeah. You know, and what's so amazing is just that I was there enough to actually be able to acknowledge that and realize, wow, that, you know, to have that kind of experience 15 years ago would have been a miracle.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, it's a thank you to yourself for all the work that you have done and continue to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Be able to reap the rewards.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then we'll be talking to you before long.
Yes.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah. Gosho, Sherry.
Gosho. Good night.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we are going to hear from our sponsors, and then we will be right back.
All right.
Porch Dog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porch Dog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do. And we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in it.
Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bonnie calling.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, and yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Right.
I'm calling because I committed to myself to call. This is the first time that I'm actually calling. I tried a couple of times and didn't get through, so this is a first for me, and I'm thrilled.
Good, good.
And then also because I'm in a situation where I feel like I'm stuck in conditioning.
Uh-huh.
And I guess that would be helpful to have some guidance on how to pick that apart a bit, like where the conditioning is and what isn't conditioning.
Uh-huh.
Just in general, I've been trying to do things that are kind for myself because I can be very hard on myself. And I found
I'll correct your language just a little, okay?
Please.
Conditioning, karma, self-hate is hard on you.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, good.
Thank you.
You don't want to own that.
You're the
one who's going to do kind things for yourself. It's what is being unkind to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in a situation where it feels like there's a lot of self-hate right now. I was in a situation that wasn't kind, and so I pressed an issue, and where I'm finding conditioning come up now is that I'm questioning my choice, my decisions, my desire to be kind.
Okay. Give me some of the language that you hear, some of the questions.
If only you were different, then it would be okay and you wouldn't find yourself in this situation and in so much pain. Or why couldn't you do better, or what didn't you do? Like how could you mess up something good?
Okay, so that's not mysterious to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm hearing a voice that's calling you.
Correct.
And accusing you of being the cause of what's not working in your life.
That's right.
Yeah. So we're pretty clear on that one, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay. And so now in the face of that, so there it is. It's beating you up. And how does that relate to questioning whether or not you ought to be kind to yourself?
Well, I'm listening to it.
I see.
And believing it.
Well, stop it.
And I'm stuck in it. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kidding, but I'm not.
I know.
Yeah.
But you're, yeah.
Yeah, because of course that is the answer. Yes. So now here's my next probably pretty accurate guess.
Please.
The person who is listening to it, the person who is the recipient of all that abuse,
yes,
probably very young.
Okay.
Emotionally, is very young. And unable to stand up for herself. Doesn't feel qualified or capable. You know, little kids, for the most part, when adults, you know, do that kind of you business on them, you know, they don't have a lot of choice. They might be upset inside or having whatever reaction, but they tend to just take it because what else are you going to do when you're a little tiny person and big people are yelling at you? Okay, so we get very accustomed to that, being in that kind of relationship with voices that speak to us that way. And are you with me on that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So do you have a feel for any kind of sense of who that person in you might be, how she sees life? Or?
Yeah, that small, insignificant, kind of not there's that piece that doesn't feel quite worthy? Is that answering your question?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's who a bully can beat up. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, so bullies tend to gravitate toward people who feel incapable of protecting themselves, really unworthy of being protected and cared for and that sort of thing. So I'm betting that this is a long time sort of thing that's been going on in your life.
Yes.
Yeah. And so now the time has come, because you're clearly practicing awareness, for you to step in and intervene.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's going to be you, and I'm making little quote marks in the sky here, right?
Okay.
Because it's you, yes, and it's you from center. It's you from conscious, compassionate awareness, okay, in the role of a loving mentor, kind, caring grown-up who's going to step in and say no to those voices doing the beatings. Going to protect that little person. You know, it's not your fault. You haven't done anything wrong. You don't, you know, no, it's not okay that people talk to you this way. I'm here. I'm going to look after you. Don't worry about it. Okay, so you've got two relationships going now that you've stepped into this battlefield, right? One is holding those voices of self-hate at bay. And the other is then turning to this young person and reassuring her that you're going to be there and take care of her, and she doesn't have to have any more of that kind of abuse. And, of course, that's who you're going also to be kind to.
Yes.
Yeah. And once we see that, you know, that you're really talking about whether or not a small child deserves to be abused, whether or not a small child deserves kindness, you know, the questions get answered pretty quickly.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. And what I'm still going back to, though, is I know this isn't about the content here of you know, the situation that I found myself in, but I still question myself. I question what I think I was doing, like, to take care of myself.
Well,
and
is
that
here's the thing, and this is a philosophical thing, all right?
Please.
So there's really no sense in questioning what happened, because it doesn't matter. It happened. It's over. And nobody actually is qualified to learn from the past, contrary to, you know, what we're told, because it's over, it's gone, it's done, and most of us don't even know who was there or what was going on when it was happening in the first place. What you can do that will be extremely helpful for you,
okay,
is to clarify these relationships now, so that you can have your eyes wide open for the next moment of life that arises.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
There's some times where I'm so, well, that the well conditioning is kind of taking over. I feel like I'm in a spiral. And I know I'm using I here, but I can't seem to break out of it.
You mean it gets you in kind of a loop and you
Thank
can't
you.
Find your way out?
Thank you. Yes, it. Thank you. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So it's yammering at you.
Yes.
And you okay. Then once again, that tells me that you are identified as that young person. And she can't find a way out of it. She can't see. I mean, she's just trapped in the abuse. She's just not equal to the situation.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah. So the again, the work is going to be for you to get to that conscious compassionate awareness place, embrace her, and now the two of you are going to take on life circumstances. Okay. Fortunately, there's a whole team that you're going to realize increasingly is on your side and helping you. So it's not just you and a little kid.
Yes.
Yeah, right. It's so. But right now, it sounds like that's who's mostly been in the game. And so you're going to be practicing your conscious compassion awareness mentoring muscles and practice taking care of this small child. She's going to practice being in relationship with you, you know, getting to the point where she can yell help when she finds herself in that kind of situation and you don't happen to be there.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you're practicing more and more staying conscious so that when those voices start, you know who they're talking to because you'll increasingly be able to just feel it in your body.
Right.
And you yell time out and start doing the kinds of things that are going to protect her and keep you in conscious awareness.
Okay.
Can you get a sense of that?
Yeah, actually, I do.
Yeah. So it's really good to just imagine, just, you know, get a good clear picture of her at maybe age 5, 6, 7, something like that.
Okay.
And you just talk to her. Say, it's okay. I'm here. I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. You don't have to talk to those people. They're just voices. They don't, you know, and make it a monologue. Practice never drawing a breath in the sense of creating gaps in the conversation that those hateful voices can insert themselves into.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, you keep your attention so focused on staying present and caring for her that there's no room for anything else to take your attention.
Okay. I'm remembering that.
Have you read There's Nothing Wrong With You?
Oh, yeah. And I've been to the retreat. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I'm actually just now going through the 30-day retreat again.
Good.
In that book. And I'm also rereading your, actually reading for the first time, the Sweet Zen book, which I really is lovely.
Good.
So,
next on your list, get the new book.
Okay.
Because that's going to really speak to, very clearly, to the how of keeping your attention where you want it to be and not on making spaces for those voices to get in.
Yeah, because I feel that, you know, it's been a little while and I've been keeping my practice up. Sometimes it slips, but I have been keeping it up. And it's like the how sometimes I feel it's eluding me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so hard. Just remind yourself. This is really hard. I'm doing incredibly well against huge forces of hatred and cruelty and yeah. Those voices have many, many tricks. They've been at it for a long time. They're incredibly motivated. So, you know, that we stay conscious and present at all is a miracle, and every conscious choice that we make in that direction deserves huge rounds of applause and congratulations and, as I like to point out, presence.
Okay, nice. It's actually really helpful even just to hear that again and just being able to call in and feel like there's sangha and people.
Holding hands.
Incredible.
What we do.
It's just amazing. And I didn't make it. I went to the bridge walk for the first time last year.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't make it this year because I'm far away overseas right now. But I'm going to try to come again for the 10th anniversary.
October 1st.
October 1. Wow, just wonderful.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you very much for everything you do.
You're so welcome. Don't be a stranger.
I won't. Thank you. Right. Bye, Sherry. Good night. Bye, Michael. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Bonnie. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. We are blessed people, Sherry.
We are. We are. We know some of the finest people on the planet.
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Yes. And to hear from them each week?
It's the best.
Technology that brings us together? Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
So big thank yous to you and to all of our callers and all of our listeners and everybody everywhere.
Everybody everywhere all the time. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.